Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. As promised last time, this month we're continuing our presentation of a series of radio plays produced by Dave Amaral 30-some years ago. They're based on the Dr. Sam Hawthorne stories of MWA Grandmaster Edward D. Hoke, and as you'll see, pains were taken to recreate the period flavor of the original tales. This episode's selection is The Problem of the Old Oak Tree, a story first published in the July 1978 issue of EQMM.
I reached the old oak tree and boosted myself onto the lower limb. Already I could see the blue of Boone's face. I managed to climb high enough to feel for a pulse, but there was none. I climbed a bit higher in the tree, reaching out toward the white scarf around his neck. But then I felt something else and drew my hand away. There was a piece of wire knotted around his scarf.
Time once again to join Dr. Sam Hawthorne. He was Northmont's only doctor a half century ago, and he seemed to have a way of encountering impossible crimes. Tonight's story concerns the filming of an early talking picture and a haunted oak tree. Dr. Sam calls it The Problem of the Old Oak Tree.
Well, hello there. Nice to have you back for another story and a small libation. There we go. Now, you remember me telling you about the time capsule at the county fair in the summer of 1927? Well, this story happened that same year. Yes, sir. September of 27 is when Granger Newmark came to Northmont to make a talking picture. Newmark was very much a product of Hollywood. He arrived in my office that first afternoon wearing riding breeches and leather boots with a zipper jacket topped by a white silk scarf around his throat. And I'll admit, I didn't know quite what to make of him at first.
Dr. Hornhill?
Hawthorne, what seems to be the trouble? Sore throat?
Hardly. The scarf is part of my normal attire. I've come here because they tell me that you're the only doctor in this burg.
That's correct.
I am Granger Newmark. I'm producing Wings of Glory, starring Robert Raines. The first sound motion picture about flyers. Not the World War Aces, but the barnstorming pilots who turn up at the county fairs and exhibitions to risk their lives for a few dollars pay.
And what made you choose Northmont?
I had driven through here last year, and I liked the area. When we needed a rural setting for staging of the film, I remembered your town and those large open fields just north of here. We've found the ideal spot for our landing field, and I've obtained permission from the owner to use it.
What field would that be?
The Gates House Farm, I believe it's called. A fellow named Hiram Gates leased me the use of the land. It's a perfect setting for Wings of Glory.
I see. And what do you need me for?
Some of the stunt work in the picture is going to be dangerous. A parachute jump on a plane nosing over takeoff. I wanted a doctor standing by, and we didn't bring one with us.
Well, that may be, but I've got my own patients to tend to. I just can't neglect them while I watch you make a movie.
I'll need you only for a few days during a stunt shooting, and I'll pay you well.
Well, I have to admit that business has quieted down.
I'm sure you could leave word here, and they could come out and get you if there was any emergency.
All right, but I couldn't spare more than 3 days.
Good. I'll need you Wednesday morning, out at the Gates House Farm. 9 o'clock sharp, Dr. Hornhill.
Hawthorne.
Granger Newmark was gone before he mentioned how much money he'd be paying me for standing by. But by that time, I knew I was hooked. On Wednesday morning, I drove my 6-year-old Pierce Arrow runabout over the rutted roads to Highgate's farm. The place was alive with activity, and sure enough, there was a flying machine at one end of the long field.
It's just perfect for the picture. A de Havilland 60 Moth. A biplane with two open cockpits and a single engine. Looks like all those crates left over from the war that the barnstormers fly. But it's much safer. It's only 2 years old, and it has a new 60 horsepower Cirrus engine.
Sounds like she's a beauty.
Best of all, we can tow it along the road with its wings folded, so it's easy to move from place to place during the shooting.
Have you noticed the haunted oak?
What?
That old oak tree to the left of the plane. The one that's partially dead. Some folks around here say it's haunted. Supposed to have been planted over the grave of a Revolutionary War traitor. Back 150 years ago. I doubt if it's really that old, though.
Certainly is an ugly-looking thing. Can't think of a way we can use it in the script. I don't suppose it's killed anybody recently.
As a matter of fact, it has. A young boy fell from it not long ago and broke his neck. For folks around here, that was enough to revive all those old superstitions.
Don't tell me about superstitions. Gosh, I've got enough of my own.
Hello, Rains.
Hello.
Well, are you ready for the jump scene? Robert, this is Dr. Hornhill, the local Sawbones.
Hawthorne. Sam Hawthorne.
I'm pleased to meet you, Doctor, but I hope I won't be needing your services.
Just listen to that voice. When the women of America hear Robert Rains, we're going to have ourselves a big star. Half of the actors in Hollywood will be out of work once the public hears their squeaky little voices.
It's just the voice that God gave me. I do the best I can with it.
I see you've got your parachute. Are you going to be jumping?
No, of course not, Doctor. We use a double for the actual jump. We can't risk our big star on anything like that, now can we?
Don't know as you should risk anyone. There's not much treatment I can give if a chute doesn't open.
Bah, don't be silly. It's perfectly safe. People have been parachuting for a lot longer than there have been planes to fly them.
What do you mean?
Well, there have been jumps from hot air balloons for over 100 years. But come now, let's get on with it. Bah! Here comes Charlie Boone, our double.
Double? He's dressed in the same type pilot's costume, but there doesn't seem to be much resemblance.
How are you?
Now, I can assure you that the camera's eye on a distant falling figure will see them as one once we edit in the close-ups.
See those clouds rolling in? Could mean big trouble.
Come, come now. Time is money. The cameras are ready to roll. And we'll need a shot of you two climbing into the plane and then the takeoff. Charlie, you jump out as soon as you can. Rains will circle wide out of camera range and bring the plane in.
You can fly that thing?
Oh, sure. I'm a lot more comfortable flying it than being a passenger. Charlie goes back up later and does the stunts, though. I don't do stunts.
Come, come. Let's get going, you two.
Okay, let's go, Charlie.
In the film, Rains is the daring, carefree barnstormer, and Boone is his pilot partner. Rains is going up for a parachute jump, even though a doctor has warned him that the thin air could cause him to black out. Sorry, we've already shot the doctor scene, or he would have used you.
Acting is a bit out of my line. Who is the girl greeting them by the plane?
That's Angela Rhodes, our leading lady. This is her first picture, actually, but I think she's going to be a big star. Just look at her, adjusting Robert's scarf, just as a princess might have done before her knight rode off to joust. All right, camera, action, take one.
The two men climbed into the plane, and Range waved from the front cockpit. The cameraman followed the plane as it taxied into position and took off. For the first time, I noticed that High Gates had been watching too, standing a bit behind me.
Hello, Doc. But you never thought they'd be shooting a moving picture on my farm.
I hope you're getting a good price for it, High.
Don't you worry none, Doc. They don't outfox old High. My daddy taught me a thing or two about business before he passed on.
How you been making out here by yourself, High?
Good as can be expected. I keep hoping that my wife, Dory, will be coming back, but I guess there's not much hope of that.
You hear from her?
Last I heard, she was living up in Maine with her sister.
Maybe she'll read about them shooting this moving picture on your farm.
Yeah, maybe.
Keep focused on the plane. Don't miss a thing. You'll jump now when they come over the field again.
The biplane, with its two open cockpits, climbed high enough for the parachute jump. I saw a tiny speck detach itself from the plane and start to fall. Then a cloud of white billowed up behind it as the parachute was released. The fallen figure seemed to stop in midair, then begin drifting slowly towards us. But the clouds were moving in now, and the wind was picking up. As the parachute neared the ground, we could see it drifting further off course toward the old oak tree at the edge of the field. Angela Rhodes had come over to join us.
Isn't it dangerous?
Now, now, my dear, nothing to worry about.
Why doesn't he steer himself? He's gonna hit that tree.
Charlie!
The parachute came down in the upper branches of the old oak.
For just a moment, we each stood frozen in place. Swaying at the end of the parachute harness, some 10 feet from the ground, was the limp body of the stuntman Charlie Boone. Suddenly, I was galvanized into action.
Charlie!
Let's get him out of there.
Somebody get a ladder!
High Gates ran off toward the barn as I reached the tree and boosted myself onto the lower limb. Already, I could see the blue of Boone's face. I managed to climb high enough to feel for a pulse, but there was none. I climbed a bit higher in the tree, reaching out toward the white scarf around his neck. But then I felt something else and drew my hand away. I climbed down from the tree just as High Gates returned carrying a ladder.
What's wrong, Doc?
What is it?
Cut him down carefully and then leave him here on the ground. I have to call the sheriff.
You mean he's dead?
Yes, Mr. Newmark. And there's a piece of wire knotted around his scarf. He's been murdered.
Sheriff Lenz was away on a hunting trip at the time, and Sheriff Putnam had come over from Greenhaven to spend the week in Northmont. I phoned him from the Gates farmhouse and then walked back out to the field. Robert Raines had landed the plane and joined the small group which had gathered at the foot of the forbidding old oak tree. Granger Newmark was crouched over the body, working to unknot the wire from Charlie Boone's neck.
I just got here, Dr. Hawthorne. What happened to Charlie?
You'd better leave that wire for the sheriff to see, Mr. Newmark.
Dr. Hawthorne, what happened to him?
I was hoping that you could tell us, Mr. Raines. He's dead. Strangled.
Strangled? Here on the ground?
Before he reached the ground. His chute snagged in the tree. When I climbed up to free him, I found no pulse and a steel wire knotted around his neck. Either the haunted oak has claimed another victim, or he was strangled in the plane before he jumped.
In the plane?
You were the only person up there with him.
But he was alive when he jumped. He had to be, to pull open the ripcord when the body was free of the plane.
You, could have strangled him with the wire and dumped him out of the plane and used a second wire to pull open the ripcord when the body was free of the plane.
I was in the front cockpit, remember? You tell me how I could have strangled someone sitting in the rear cockpit several feet behind me, then attached a wire to his ripcord and dumped the body out of the plane when I was the pilot and the plane was in the air. Go ahead, tell me.
I don't know. Maybe Sheriff Putnam can.
You're telling me a damn tree killed him, Doc?
No. Trees don't strangle people with pieces of wire. Not even haunted trees.
All right. Then who did? He sure didn't commit suicide.
No, it's impossible to strangle yourself to death. You'd pass out before you finished the job.
Unless you hanged yourself. How about this, Doc? The wire was attached to the chute. And when it opened, the wire was pulled tight and choked him to death.
The wire's not attached to the chute now. Besides, I've just examined his neck under that scarf, and there's no evidence that the pressure came from above. Something like that would have almost torn his head from his body.
So how was it done, Doc? You're the medical expert.
I've never seen one quite like this.
Well, neither have I, Doc. Neither have I.
There was something gnawing at my memory, though, and I went in search of Granger Newmark. Sheriff Putnam could content himself with prowling around the old oak tree till I returned. I found the director with his star, Angela, and I suppose you could say he was comforting her. He took his arm off her shoulder as I approached and frowned at me.
What is it now, Doctor? A bill for my services?
My services aren't finished yet. I was wondering about the plane Raines and Boone were in.
Well, what about it? We won't be reshooting the scene, if that's what you're wondering.
I'm wondering if the plane has one of those new automatic pilot gadgets I've been reading about.
So my star could have set it and climbed back along the fuselage to strangle Boone. Not a chance. There's no autopilot on it. Rains would be too scared to death to try a trick like that anyway.
Why are you so interested in who killed him? It's no business of yours.
I was hired to minister to the ill and injured. I failed in that.
We won't hold it against you.
What about the film you shot? Can you get it developed? It might give us a clue.
The film has to go down to New York for processing. It'll be days before we see anything. Do you think we carry a dark room along with us?
I could see they had turned against me. I walked away and found Sheriff Putnam busy questioning High Gates. He was digging into a possible motive for the crime, and I decided that it was the smart thing to do. Worrying about the how of it would get me nowhere.
You're staying here at your farm.
Maybe the why would prove more profitable.
Sure. I got 3 bedrooms upstairs just going to waste. If I wait for Dory to come home, that'll be never. So I rented them out to some of the cast and crew. Boone and the cameraman and one of the extras.
Any trouble between Boone and the others?
No trouble I can see.
No fights? No drinking?
Well, now, I ain't saying that none of them had a drink. I mean, I don't know too much about them. They only just got here.
Sheriff, what do you say we go up to the house and take a look at Boone's room?
Okay, Doc. That's a good idea.
We started up to the farmhouse with the sheriff walking a little bit ahead of us. High Gates indicated by some cryptic hand signals that he wanted to speak to me, alone. When we entered the house, I told the sheriff to go over Boone's things while I lingered behind in the living room with Gates.
Got something you'll want to see. Don't want the sheriff to spot it, though.
Looks like an old scrapbook.
Shh! I got it from his room.
You stole it?
I found it when I was cleaning up this morning. But I knew the sheriff would say I stole it. Look at it.
Clippings from old movies. Here's Boone as the old man in The Telltale Heart. Here he is as Edward Stapleton in The Premature Burial.
Turn the page.
Here's Captain Blood, 1925. This looks like Rain standing next to him. Notice they're wearing identical pirate costumes. Boone must have been his double. Interesting, but I don't see anything,
Look here, Doc. Under the Captain Blood picture. Dirty pictures.
Quite a blur. You can't tell who they are.
Look on the other side.
Something written, but it's been crossed out. Remember this. If you don't want me to... And that's all it says.
Look, there's more of them.
They're all too out of focus and underexposed for clear identification. No writing on the back of these.
The man could be Robert Raines.
Or it could be his double. Let me take some of these. Better put the book away.
You want to look over his room, Doc?
Charlie Boone's room was bare, except for a bed, a dresser, and a chair. He seemed to have unpacked very little. I glanced hastily through the suitcase and the dresser drawers, but found nothing of interest. High Gates had no doubt been through it already. Then I began to wonder when he'd had the time. While we were waiting for the sheriff? Or had he known Boone would not be returning even before that? I went back outside and headed for the old oak tree. The body was gone, and the others had drifted off. I saw something on the ground, on the far side of the tree, and stooped to pick it up. It was a hard rubber ball. I wondered if some children had lost it while playing, but it wasn't a bit worn or weather-beaten. Then I saw Angela Rhodes headed in my direction and dropped it into my pocket.
Hello, Dr. Hawthorne. We haven't had a chance to get properly acquainted.
And I'm afraid we won't have. If Granger Umar continues with the picture, he'll want a different doctor, I'm sure.
Why? You didn't cause Charlie's death.
I certainly didn't save it. Tell me something. How well did you know Charlie Boone?
I just met him last month when Granger was casting for the picture. But Robert's known him for years. Charlie doubled for him in Captain Blood.
Who do you think killed him?
It had to be someone up there, before he jumped.
Raines was the only one up there.
I know.
But was he? I had a sudden thought and ran off toward the plane, leaving Angela Rod standing there alone. I climbed up to the rear cockpit where Boone had been seated when the plane took off. Was it possible that someone else had been concealed in the cockpit with him? Someone who had strangled him and pitched his body over the side? As soon as I seated myself, I saw that it was physically impossible. My legs were cramped, and Boone was a bigger man than me.
Doc Hawthorne!
What is it, Sheriff?
You got a call from Judd Miller at the funeral parlor in town. He's got the body, and he says he needs you to sign a death certificate.
Can't cut into him till you sign the paper, Doc.
What about next of kin?
Well, they say he didn't have any. Going to bury him here, I suppose.
There's no doubt he was strangled?
Oh, I'll check his insides all right, but it looks like a strangling to me. No other marks on him, except the bruise on his temple. Probably got that when they were taking him down from the tree.
Yes, except that dead men don't bruise like this. He was still alive when this happened.
Maybe when he landed in the tree?
He was still alive when he landed in the haunted oak.
Twarn't no haunted tree strangled him. More likely the first person to reach him did it before the others arrived. I read a story like that once.
Only trouble with that is, it was me who reached him first.
Oh.
I signed the death certificate and went back to my office, feeling depressed. I felt right on the verge of figuring it out. But somehow it wouldn't quite come together in my mind. I sat down at my desk and reached into my pocket to have another look at those pictures. My fingers encountered the hard rubber ball I'd picked up earlier. Could that be the answer? Had I made the one mistake no doctor should ever make? I got to my feet just as the outer door opened and Granger Numa came in, pulling a gun from his pocket.
I've been looking for you, Doctor.
I'm glad you're here. I've just earned my money. I know how Charlie Boone was killed.
You do?
I did a terrible thing this morning, Mr. Newmark.
And what was that?
I pronounced a man dead when he was still alive.
You're a smarter man than I thought, Doctor. Now give me those pictures you took from High Gates.
The pictures are in a safe enough place.
I don't have time for games. This whole thing is coming apart.
Why? Because of High Gates? You didn't figure on him going through Boone's things, did you?
Boone was a dirty blackmailer. He got what he deserved.
Those pictures were blow-ups from Stag films, weren't they? Films you made before you became a big Hollywood name. That sort of publicity could ruin you right now, on the brink of your success in the talkies.
The pictures, Doctor, or I'll...
Kill me? I suppose you've already killed High Gates.
Not yet. He gave me the rest of the pictures without knowing quite what was going on. But you're a different story. You know too much, Doctor.
You needed a dumb country doctor to work your scheme. That's why you didn't bring one along from the city. Boone was alive when he hit that tree, but he was playing the role of a dead man. He gave his face a bluish tinge with a bit of makeup before he jumped, and he tied that wire around his own neck. The scarf kept it from doing any real damage. He used a hard rubber ball pressed into his armpit to cut off his pulse. Maybe he had one under each armpit.
That's very good, Doctor.
It was a break for you that the parachute went into the oak tree, because I first examined him on that tree limb. When I ran in to phone the sheriff, you helped take him down from the tree. A quick blow to the temple knocked him out, and you strangled him on the ground in front of the others, while seeming to unfasten the wire from his neck.
Your time is up, Doctor. Where are the pictures?
I have just one question. How did you persuade Boone to act as an accessory to his own murder?
If you must know, I told him it was a publicity stunt for the movie. Stuntman pronounced dead. Revives 10 minutes later. That sort of thing would get a few headlines. helped the picture. With a crew around, he thought he was safe.
Was it his role in the premature burial that gave you the idea?
We've had enough talk. Now give me those pictures.
Only the producer of the film could persuade Boone to pull a stunt like that. And then I remembered you tugging at the wire.
Doc, have you seen... What the...
Grab him, Sheriff. It was what I'd been stalling for. Yuma half turned toward the sheriff, and I threw myself at him, knocking his gun to one side. The sheriff grabbed him. It was as simple as that. Well, that was my one fling at movie making. Newmark pleaded guilty and served a long term in prison. And Wings of Glory was never made. The old oak tree? It was struck by lightning the following year and just toppled over. It never claimed another victim, real or imagined. Another small libation before you go, huh? No?
Dr. Sam Hawthorne, produced by Dave Amaral and based on the characters created by Edward D. Hoke, appearing in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. Heard in tonight's cast were Del Bobel, Harry Young, John Furch, Jim Watt, Craig Lundquist, Rick Wagstaff, Kate Reifman, and Richard Scott as Dr. Sam Hawthorne. This is Robert Lazich.
The Problem of the Old Oak Tree, which was first published in the July 1978 issue of EQMM, is copyrighted by the estate of Edward D. Hoke. Adaptations to this recording to make it suitable for podcasting were done by Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM.